Good morning. We hear a lot about problems with housing through throughout Northern Ireland. But what happens when you have needs that just cannot be met because the type of house you require is not available? Ross has got in touch with the programme. He and his family are living in desperate circumstances and are pleading for help in finding a new home. Ross, good morning to you.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Tell us what's happened here, Ross.
Well, so we live in North Belfast in Ardoyne, and my partner has lymphedema, as she's had for the past number of years. She also has leg ulcers. My son then became disabled, and well, severely disabled in March of this year. He had taken seizures from really October time, May 14, and he was away on a trip. I took five seizures. That was in March. After the seizures, he had lost all his mobility, even lost his speech as well. But the good thing is, Stephen, his speech has now came back again, so it was one good thing. But he's now confined to a wheelchair. He cannot do this. He cannot walk up the stairs or anything. My wife, because she has the lymphedema in her legs, her legs are swole from the feet right up to the thigh, full of fluid. Therefore, it's not one leg, but both legs. And it's making life very difficult for her to walk up the stairs. It's just an impossibility.
So your son is in your son is in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Your wife has that severe disability.
Yeah.
Tell me how they're sleeping at night. Where they're sleeping at night.
Well, our living room is about 10 feet by 11 feet. We have a corner sofa, and I have a sofa in one corner, a two-seater up against the other wall. My son sleeps on one half of the corner seat, and my partner sleeps in the other.
Your wife and your son are sleeping on the same sofa at night?
Yeah, it's an L shape. So one's facing down, one's lying down the way, and the other's lying across the way. And because of the problems, I'm in a pub Scots, and I'm sleeping on a two-seater. I'm sleeping on the other sofa. So I can be here.
All three of you are sleeping. Is this the same room?
Yes, this is the living room.
Three of you are sleeping at night in the living room. Two people on an L-shaped sofa, and then you on a two-seater sofa.
Yeah.
What impact is that having on you all psychologically?
Well, from the 29th of June this year, Stephen, I took a breakdown. I've now been sent off work with depression. About middle of August, I faced the Scots so much, and I had committed suicide.
It's just got too much for you.
Yeah. Good. And we're just all in complete agony. And now, of me lying on the sofa, my leg has swollen up. I have now got cellulitis. And I had four ulcers on one leg because of the swelling. Those ulcers had burst, and I had to go to hospital for about 2 weeks to be on an intravenous drip.
How old is your son?
My son's 20. He'll be 21 in November.
So he's going to be he'll be a big lad, right?
Yeah, he's about the same. He's about the same height as myself, Stephen.
I'm trying to imagine two people sleeping night in, night out on an L-shaped sofa. And then you squeeze into another sofa in the same room. My goodness.
I know, it's just, we're going back to the dark ages. Now, it's 2016.
He can't go upstairs to bed, presumably, because he's in a wheelchair, right?
Yeah, and because there's no mobility.
Why can't your wife go upstairs to a room?
because her legs are swollen up to her thighs with fluid, and it's trying to get the leg lifted because of all the fluid in the legs with the lymphedema. Lymphedema, you could weigh a person on a Monday and say they're about maybe 12 stone. Weigh that person again on the Friday who has lymphedema, they could be hitting 18 stone. The fluid increases the weight of the body.
And you must have asked the authorities for help in terms of housing, an appropriate house for you and your family.
We have. Whenever my son lost his mobility, beforehand he was able to do the stairs, that wasn't a problem. It was difficult because I'd be walking up behind him in case he takes a seizure. This is the reason why we can't even have a stair lift in, because he's not allowed to be on his own on a lift if he goes into a seizure. So the way it was before March, I was walking up behind him when he was going up to bed. And then in the morning time, I was walking down backwards down the stairs with him. So in case he goes into a seizure, I'd be there to kind of catch him.
What have the authorities said about getting you an appropriate accommodation for your needs?
Well, the housing initiative came out in the end of March, beginning of April. A member from the housing initiative complex needs team came out. And they turned around and said that there was no properties on their books or on the private. Because we need a four-bedroom house, there's myself, my partner, my son, and our two daughters who live in this house. The two daughters, they have their own bedrooms. They're fine. They can get to their beds. But it's just, we can't do the stairs. And if I go up the stairs and my son takes a seizure or my partner needs to get to the toilet, because of the swelling and that in the legs, she finds it hard. She needs me to be here to help her up off the sofa, because the sofa is lower in the bed, to try and get her to the toilet.
So you're waiting on a home, and they say they just don't have any property for you. So what's the outlook for you then? What's Christmas going to be like? It's not that far away.
I'm actually going on Christmas, Stephen. They had land. As I was saying, they really came out from the house out of end of March, beginning of April. And we had a meeting here in the house with Nicola Mallon, our MLA, and my son's social worker. And she said, the only way forward is for a purpose-built or a special requisition house, or a special requisition purpose. This was in March, beginning of April. Now, that's about nearly 7 months past, and we are still sitting at square one. They found a house for us, North Belfast Housing, found a house, but wasn't suitable because there's only one downstairs bedroom. We need to have two downstairs bedrooms.
Well, listening to this is the North Belfast SDLP MLA, Nicola Mallon. You've been helping Nicola, the family, with their case.
Yes, Stephen. I was contacted by the family back in March. And when I went to the house, and I've been a councillor for 6 years before I was elected as an MLA, and without doubt, housing is the bulk of my constituency work. I would get new cases every day. But I have never, ever, ever seen a situation like this situation that the Forbes family are forced to live in. And I was appalled by it. So I immediately pulled together a meeting with the Housing Executive Complex Needs Team, as Ross said, in April. And it was made very clear at that meeting that, you know, the social workers and the OTs had said you cannot possibly adapt their existing home to meet their needs. So we need to find a wheelchair accessible house. The Housing Executive said back in April there was no such house in their book, with a huge demand for housing in North Belfast, because one of the children goes to school in North Belfast. so they need to stay in that area, that we needed to look at, as Ross said, a special acquisition, which is where a housing association purposely buys a property on the private market and then adopts it or a new build.
Well, look, the housing executive are telling us that they've even tried to pursue the option of building a house of this type, tried to buy land to facilitate this, tried to find suitable accommodation.
Once, Stephen. We have been meeting, as Ross said, from April, and we have had meeting after meeting after meeting. And what has materially changed for the Forbes family? Nothing. Since I first met them, they've slept over 200 nights, and I'm saying slept, they don't sleep. I have seen the physical deterioration in that family and the mental deterioration, and I'm telling you, it's a family of breaking points. It's a family that I'm very worried about. I know their social worker is very worried about them, and they cannot take any more. And we're meant to be a society that cares for its most vulnerable. But you see, when it comes to housing in areas of high demand and you have a disability, you may forget about it.
How long,
you're at the bottom of the pecking order.
How long, Ross, has your son and your wife been sleeping on that L-shaped sofa?
Lisa's been sleeping on the settee for 2.5 years.
2.5 years on a settee?
And Joseph has been sleeping on the settee from March of this year.
Sure, that's crazy. That is crazy.
Ross and his wife, they first put in an application to move for a ground floor accommodation in June 2015. So the housing executive has been aware of the unsuitability of their property from June 2015. The situation got a lot worse because Joseph, the son, then had a bad fall at work, which led to him having significant disability, which has led to the situation that they're now forced to live in and the impact that it's having on them and the family, because remember, there's two other children in the house as well. And this is not exaggeration. I would say, if Ross was happy with this, Stephen, for you to come up and see for yourself, their living room isn't, in all honesty, much bigger than your studio. You actually have to see it to believe it.
Well, what we will definitely do, with your permission, Ross, if you want us to, we will certainly capture images of that room that you're sleeping in.
Yeah.
With all of you in it, if you want us to.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
We'll certainly put that into the public domain. I'll see if I can get one of the team to do that today. And it's the prospect, Ross, of no end in sight to this, which must be really traumatising you.
Stephen, the thing about this is, they said to you, we are on property websites day in, day out. We're driving around. We found 11 different properties, and we gave them to North Belfast Housing to look at, and none of them were acceptable. They were going to cost too much money to adapt for us. Now, we have found one at the moment. It's on the Common Road facing Mercy Primary School. There's 4 reception rooms downstairs, large reception rooms. And again, well, there's 5 bedrooms upstairs. The whole problem is, Stephen, it's £225,000.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
And we could have our 2 downstairs bedrooms and a wet room. And is there a showroom already in this property? It's been modernised. It's been everything. But they're only allowed to spend £125,000 for one. That's all they're allowed to spend.
That's not a lot in the current housing market, is it? I'm looking through this housing executive statement. I know I've read some of it already. They do say that they've made this case a priority. They say that they're determined to find a suitable solution as soon as possible for you. And they understand how bad this is. For you. They say they're trying to do something about it. North Belfast Housing Association, they say they've been working to identify sites to construct a new build long term. They say that they had identified a site which had potential. They discussed it with the family. Unfortunately, that site was then sold on the open market, so it's not available to them. So you can start to understand how complex this is. But here's some news for you, Ross. They say, this is North Belfast Housing Association, say that they acknowledge the stress that this has caused. They say they're committed to finding a solution for you. And, wait for this, we've identified another potential site on which to develop a ground floor, purpose-built property to meet the needs of you and your family. And they're going to meet you on the 5th of October to present this new option to you.
Well, Stephen, I know where our site is. It's right on the Peace Line or Clifton Park Avenue. It's right on the Peace Line. That is where they want to put the bungalow or the house, right on the Peace Line.
But I guess, Ross, you've just got to get you and your family into a suitable accommodation, don't you? That's what you've got to do. Nicola. Go ahead, Nicola.
I think it's important, too, that there's over 100 families in Belfast alone that are on a waiting list for wheelchair accessible accommodation, because I've asked the Minister about this, and there's over 450 households in Northern Ireland, and there's a massive problem. There was a policy decision taken several years ago to stop building bungalows, and it was based on profit, because you can get more on a site and more for your money by not building bungalows. We need to build bungalows because there are families like the Forbes that they essentially require a bungalow. And what we need to do is we need to be building houses that meet people's needs, that are not driven by profit margins, because that's why disabled people are being left in the situations. I mean, I have two other cases close by where Ross lives. And again, there's a little girl with profound disabilities that only gets bathed once every 3 months when she goes to the hospice for respite. So this is a big, big problem. And we need to get it out there. And more than that, we need more than 10 sympathies from the Housing Executive and from Housing Associations, from the department.
I'm presuming, Ross, you can't take any more.
We can't, Stephen. Whenever the other day, Nicola was out with us, and my son actually broke down. It's getting so bad, it's actually getting him now. Whenever they have said about North Belfast House, has said they found this piece of land and it was sold. That land was found in July, Stephen. At our last meeting, we went to see the land and we said, yes, that land would be perfect for us, not a problem. It took them from July until the 5th of September before they could do anything or to get the House Executive to agree to it.
Meanwhile, it was sold. I just wonder how big a problem this actually is, because I'm guessing that your case is indicative of a wider housing shortage. 0303 80 55 55. Paddy Gray is Professor of Housing at the Ulster University. How big is the problem, Paddy?
Well, it's certainly big right across the province, Stephen. We have, we have waiting lists of with around 40,000 people on it, and half of those are in urgent need. In areas, particularly in North Belfast, you will have very, very high demand. And I think basically the reality of this particular example is that, it's not just about shelter. People's needs change, and people are living longer. There's lots of special needs now that are being associated with families, and as people become more frail and elderly or whatever, and I think housing has to actually think about that and think about lifetime homes and how actually homes can be adopted.
20,000 people in urgent need.
Yeah, well, what they call housing stress. Yeah.
What's urgent mean?
Well, it means basically the housing is classified as housing stress when they've over a certain number of points. That would be classified as housing stress. So basically people that really need to get housed.
So then you start thinking, well, what's government planning for this? If there are 20,000 people now, like, think of the backlog. Even if they started acting now with all the money in the world to sort 20,000 people out, that's a long lag time. The situation's probably only going to get worse. How much resource is government putting into this? How much are they focusing on it, Paddy?
Well, they are. I mean, in fairness, I mean, we are, the grant levels in Northern Ireland are higher than in other regions in the UK, other than Scotland. But you know, a lot of the associations are relying on private finance, and you know, they're being pushed more and more into getting private finance to build houses. And in fairness to the housing associations, they have been meeting their targets over the last few years against a lot of difficulties. When you look in areas like North Belfast, you have, you know, the head mentioned there about the peace lines, and you have, you know, the communities living in different sort of areas and things, and it even makes it more complex. And I suppose really it's the availability of land and the availability of housing, but you know, that doesn't take away from the overall reality that the whole sort of nature of housing is changing.
Are you in the house now, Ross?
I am, yes.
We're going to send Nicola, our reporter, up right now, and so that people can understand exactly what you're living with, okay? And we'll see if we can get some of those photographs out on our Twitter feed before the end of the programme. The number today, 03030 80 55 55. Just picture the scene, so let's not lose the core of this story. A family, a disabled young man in his 20s with his mother sleeping every night, not one night in seven, which would be bad enough, unacceptable in itself, every night sleeping on an L-shaped sofa, one on one side of it, the other, mother and son, and then the father sleeping on a two-seater sofa in the same room in a very small living room. We really are going back to the dark ages with this, aren't we? 03030 80 55 55. John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Hello, Stephen. Stephen, I understand, and that family. I live in my living room. I've got a hospital bed in it. I've got a commode. And in my kitchen of disability aids. And I've been living like this now for the past 7 years. And 2 years previous to that, I slept in my settee for 3 years because I can't get up and down my stairs due to my ability as disabled. And I'm in housing, what they call. I have all the points necessary as well.
So you've been on a waiting list for 7 odd years, have you?
Yes, and I want a bungalow.
What's it do to your sense of self and your self-esteem, John?
You don't have any. You just survive from day to day, Stephen. Every day, you just get up and get on with it. But I don't live, I exist, Stephen.
What's that mean?
You just exist. Yeah. There's nothing to look forward to. Only thing I have is my television. That's it. That's how I live.
You're a regular caller to the show, John. I didn't realise this.
I listen to your TV programme, your radio show every morning. That's why I'm a regular caller. It's just something to do.
You all right?
Uh-huh. That's just the way it is, Stephen. And what they do at the housing executive do...
Can I ask a...
They offer you accommodation which isn't suitable. They offer you 3 times. Then you're taken off the list. You have to wait a year to be put back on the list. They come out and reassess you again. Give you your points back. And that's what they do. Law says they have to make the offers, but the offers aren't suitable.
Here's a personal question. I've kind of all of these different things. I'm trying to, you know, look, we all have problems, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not suggesting any of us don't. I certainly do. But I have these things I kind of want to do, and I guess I have the means and the money to try to do them, you know, call it ambition, call it whatever it is, dreams and hopes and all of that. When you say that, you know, you're existing, how do you... So what is your outlook for example, next week, next month? What are your dreams?
I don't have any, Stephen. I can't plan ahead for anything. Because if I was to plan ahead and say, I rely on my son and that to take me out shopping or whatever, right? That's it. If I was to arrange a holiday or anything like that there, and my condition goes bad again, then I can't go. So it builds up and builds up after year, and then you just get used to living in seclusion.
I think
and that's what happens.
Very powerful thing you said this morning in response to my question. What are your dreams? I don't have any. Ross, what are your dreams?
This is the same, Stephen. We live and sleep in the same room. We just exist. All our clothes that we have are sitting on chairs in the dining room kitchen because we can't get up and down the stairs.
That's another thing, Stephen. All my clothes are sitting on the kitchen table.
Where is the same, Stephen? The kitchen table. We get them done. Northern Ireland Houses have offered us a hostel accommodation, which we turned down for personal reasons, but also with my son's has a specialised chair for the shower because he takes seizures in the shower, and this chair tilts away back. And that fills the whole... We have a wet room downstairs, and that fills the whole wet room. Broadways. They were saying about going into a hostel. There's no way the equipment we have for our son would even go into it. So that was a no-goer to start with.
Ross, I want to say thank you to you for bringing this story to us, and we will we'll try to follow your story, okay?
Okay,
and,
sure.
And we'll try to watch what the authorities manage to be able to do for you. I think Nicola's on her way up to your home now. In fact, she is on her way up to your house now, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
And we'll take pictures and we'll show people. This will be available on my Twitter feed at Stephen Nolan, on our Facebook page, The Nolan Show, for you to have a look at. And Ross, I wish you and your family well, and I hope that you get sorted, okay?
Thanks so much, Stephen.
Thank you very much indeed. Darren next. Morning, Darren.
Morning, Stephen. Well, we're on the housing list 11 years with 180 points, which I don't understand, but apparently that's excellent. There's two disabled kids. There's me with a bad back now. I can't get up and down the stairs. And there's nothing suitable. Nothing. Not a single house.
So what's your living condition like?
Well, it's not ideal. I've got a blind 10-year-old who has to go up the stairs to sleep because I can't manage it. So she can't sleep downstairs. So there's no room. You've got me with a bad back. You've got the other one. But it's just, you're in private rented. The house isn't yours. As good as your landlord could be, your house could be sold out under you within a week. Do you know what I mean? So you've never got a house you can call your own. But where did all the money go from the houses that were sold off? I mean, I live in an area that was built as a housing executive area. There's maybe two houses left out of 100 that are not privately owned.
Are you working,
Where did
Dan?
All that money go?
Are you working?
So, no, I can't work, Stephen. My back's destroyed. My back's
so you were destroyed. In a car accident, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, where did that money go? Why was it not reinvested in housing? The houses that were sold off, why was that money not put back in with a rising population? Older people are living longer. There's not a quicker turnaround as what there used to be. Why was all that housing executive land that was sold off, all the houses, why was it not reinvested in more housing? Where did it go?